Our scripture reading this evening is the fifth chapter of the book of Judges. Judges 4 contains the victory that Deborah and Barak achieved over the enemy, and that victory is celebrated in song here in Judges chapter 5. Reading from the NIV, let's listen to the Word of God. Judges chapter 5. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose. Until I arose, a mother in Israel. God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates. But not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the victories of the Lord, the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah, wake up, break out in song. Arise, Barak, take captive your captives, son of Abinoam. The remnant of the nobles came down. The people of the Lord came down to me against the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, sent under his command into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the sheep pens to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed behind the Jordan. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the terraced fields. Kings came. They fought. The kings of Canaan fought. At Tanakh, by the waters of Megiddo, they took no plunder of silver. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river of Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong. Then thundered the horse's hooves. Galloping, galloping go his mighty steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera, she crushed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, there he lay. At her feet he sank, he fell, where he sank, there he fell, dead. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice she cried out, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed?" The wisest of her ladies answered her, "Indeed, she keeps on saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils, a woman or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for Sisera, colorful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck, all this as plunder. So may all your enemies perish, Lord. But may all who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace 40 years. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we give thanks for your word, for your faithfulness, for your grace to us. We thank you for the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the way in which that was portrayed many years before his birth in the great battles in which you gave victory to your people. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. A great victory in a righteous cause can be remembered in song and in poetry. And in the ancient Middle East, there were not only such victory songs, but along with that was a powerful force of religious myth, with the various gods and goddesses doing battle. And often the worship of these gods was cyclical in nature, with there being a ceremony each year where the gods achieved victory over the forces of chaos. There seems to be some reference to that in Deborah's song. But Deborah's song is not simply picking up on the mythology of the pagan nations around. Where there is reference, what's being celebrated is the victory of the Lord over the false gods of the surrounding nations, over the false gods of Israel's enemies. Judges chapter 4 gives you the historical account of the victory which Deborah and then Barak, summoned by her, gave over Sisera, who had been oppressing God's people. Now in Judges 5, there's a triumphant song celebrating that. The language is poetic, but it's poetic language describing this historical victory back in the previous chapter. And it's included here so that you and I can exult and rejoice with Deborah in the defeat of the Lord's enemies. The mother in Israel is aroused. Back at the beginning of chapter 4, we read that after Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And that evil included, among other things, included prominently compromise with the surrounding idolatry of the pagan nations. One of those idols, and he's an idol that keeps being worshipped again and again by God's people through this period of time as they turn away from the Lord. One of those gods is Baal. He's the warrior god of the storm. And you can perhaps understand this. When you're a farmer and you need the rainfall, it seemed to make some sense to follow the pattern of your pagan neighbors and worshiping the god of the storm, who was the one who presumably sent rain upon your land. In the nearby kingdom of Ugarit to the north, Baal was joined by his female consort, Ammit. And mythology pictures her as wading knee-deep in blood as she slays Baal's enemies, while from the heavens the stars pour rain on her. Now, as you read Judges chapter 5, there are some parallels in style and language and imagery between the pagan poetry and Deborah's song. But this is not, as some people have suggested, this is not God's people sort of reaching out and embracing the pagan thought and mythology that's around them. They're not assimilating the worship of the true God to the worship of Baal. Yes, that had happened, and that was why God had delivered them over to their enemies. But here in Judges 5, God has brought deliverance, and the parallels, the similarities, the reference to the mythical elements are consciously used to contrast the emptiness and futility of the idols with the reality of the Lord and with the substance of the victory that he gives to his people. The prominent roles played by Deborah and Jael emphasize this contrast between the true God and the idols. You remember that Barak was unwilling to lead Israel into battle. The command that Deborah had given him to go up to Mount Tabor seemed like a suicide mission. Here were the fairly lightly armed Israelites opposing Sisera, who had his hundreds of chariots, and they would have been surrounded and defeated by ordinary military standards. And Barak refuses to go unless Deborah accompanies him, which she does, but with the warning that the credit for the victory would go not to him, but to a woman. And that woman is not just Deborah, but it's also Jael, as we saw last week. When Sisera was defeated in battle, the Lord sent rain, as Judges 5 tells us. The chariots were made useless by the mud and the swollen rivers and streams. And when Sisera fled, he sought refuge in Jael's tent, and she ended up assassinating him. The Church of Jesus Christ today, like Old Testament Israel, is not isolated and secluded from the influences of the world. One of the reasons that the Holy Spirit includes Judges 5 in Scripture is to remind you that you must not, you may not succumb to the philosophies of the world. Rather, you need to subdue the world in the name of your Lord. Deborah is a mother in Israel, as she identifies herself. Deborah, a mother in Israel. And when she calls herself a mother, don't get a domestic picture. Don't think of Whistler's mother sitting rigidly in her upright chair. Don't think just of a mother holding a tiny baby, but think rather of the fury of a mother whose children are in danger. There's very little that a mother won't do to defend her own children. Deborah arises as the defender of God's people, raised up by the Lord to be one of the judges who provide salvation when the people have cried out for him. The call for her to wake and rise up is parallel to some of the cries that you get in the Psalms and in other portions of Scripture, where it's the Lord who is called to rise up on behalf of his people. In Numbers chapter 10, as Israel is in the wilderness, and when it's time for them to move from one place to another, the cloud goes before them. And in Numbers 10, verse 35, if I can find it here in my Bible. In Numbers 10, verse 35, when the cloud would move away from over the Ark of the Covenant leading the people on, we read that when the ark set out, Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, may your enemies be scattered, may your foes flee before you." Whenever it came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel." Psalm 68 ends up again with the same theme, calling on the Lord to arise on behalf of his people. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him, as smoke is blown away by the wind. May you blow them away, as wax melts before the Lord. May the wicked perish before the Lord. And Psalm 44 and Isaiah 60 contain similar language. This is not simply Deborah awakening to be a human deliverer, but it's the Lord rising up, waking up to bring salvation and deliverance to his people. And the Lord's working this deliverance in a surprising way. Deborah, the prophetess, is one who delivers God's people. And the death of the great enemy general Sisera happens not at the sword of Barak, but at the hands of Jael, who wields her tent peg and workman's mallet. There's a conflict going on. And this conflict calls you to join the Lord's battle. The surrounding pagan nations pictured Anat, Baal's consort, the female goddess, as rejoicing in the defeat of Baal's enemies. Bloodletting seems to have been a part of the worship of these cruel gods. You see perhaps a reflection of it many years later on Mount Carmel when Elijah has gathered the prophets of Baal, and there's a contest between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, the prophet of the Lord, with both of them building altars and calling for their respective god or gods to bring fire down on the altar. You remember the prophets of Baal went first, and they dance around their altar. They cry out to Baal, and of course Baal doesn't hear them. And they become more frantic, and they even cut themselves, letting their blood flow. And Elijah stands there mocking him and says, "Call louder!" Deborah here, the deliverer of Israel, exults in the utter defeat of the enemies of the Lord and of those who oppose his people. The river Kishon swept them away, the age-old river, the river Kishon. "March on, O my soul, be strong." This poetic description of Jael's victory over Sisera exalts in the death of the persecutor of God's people. And it blesses the one who gives the victory. In verse 24 and following, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera, she crushed his head, she shattered and pierced his temple. There he sank, there he fell, there he lay. At her feet he sank, he fell, where he sank, there he fell, dead." The victory belongs to the Lord, and Jael, the wife of Heber, gives the victory to God's people. That note of triumph continues at the end of the song with this mock dirge, this mock mourning. It pictures Sisera's widow standing at her window, listening for the sound of his chariot, for the beat of his horse's hooves. Where is he? Why is he so delayed? He's always conquered his enemies. And her ladies are telling her, "Don't worry. Don't fret. He's the victor. They're plundering the enemy. They're taking captives for their own use." Graphic language that's used here, but without any sense of sympathy for the abused captives, Sisera's widow is pictured as focusing on the wonderfully colored cloth that her son is going to be bringing her as the result of his victory. And her thought ends on that note with a longing for her son to return, and you know what she doesn't know at that point, that her son lies dead at the hands of a woman who knows and serves the Lord. In this battle between the Lord and his enemies, there's no neutrality that's possible. In verse 23, this song of Deborah pronounces a curse on the town of Meraz. "Curse Meraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse its people bitterly, because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty." A town that apparently had been summoned to join in the battle to help Deborah and Barak with their victory, and they had refused to come. And the judgment, the curse of the Lord, rests upon them. The song goes on to chastise and chasten the tribes of Reuben and Dan and Asher because they had hesitated to join in the battle, verses 15 and 16. And you get to the very end, right after the song, there's a concluding line in prose or the last verse of the song in poetry, verse 31. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. There's blessedness for those who love the Lord, and God's enemies are destroyed. It's as though there's an anticipation here in history of what happens at the final judgment. If you want a commentary on Judges chapter 5, read the book of Revelation. There's a conflict going on between the great red dragon, Satan, who's seeking to devour the son, born to deliver God's people. And when he fails, he's ultimately put down. When you pray, your kingdom come, you're praying for the victory of God's kingdom. The situation in which you and I live is very different from that of Deborah. And our weapons are different. We no longer, the Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, no longer takes the sword as the people of Israel did. The nation of Israel and God's people of the Old Testament were one. Today you find the nation of God's people, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, living among many different nations. And to the church is given not the power of the physical sword or guns, but the power of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The conflict is just as real. There's no neutrality for you any more than there was for the people of Israel. You're either serving the Lord or you're on the side of his enemies. Judges 5 calls you to keep your eyes on the Lord, to praise the Lord who goes out to war. The Lord, the one of Sinai, goes before his people. This song may intentionally pick up on some of the pagan traditions and myths and do so to mock them, to show how powerless the God of the storm is when the Lord of Sinai thunders and brings his rain. The song may mock the pagan myths, but this song is firmly rooted in the redemptive history of God's people. Deborah had told Barak back in Judges chapter 4, verse 14, that the Lord was going before him. Barak wasn't going to gain this victory in his own strength. It was the Lord who would give it to him. And here in Judges 5, in this song, the Lord's pictured again as leading his people. But in the song, he's not coming from Mount Tabor, but rather he's coming from Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was the place where God had come down and met with his people. It was a place where God had made his covenant with them, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. And they see the reality now of it in the victory that the Lord gives to Deborah and Barak through jail. The Lord comes down, he goes before his people, he brings the storm, and he brings salvation and deliverance. He's the God who had delivered his people Israel from Egypt. He had entered into a covenant with them. He had promised them the land of Canaan. And now he's delivered it to them. And though they had wandered from him, when they once again call upon him and cry out to him in repentance, he again brings deliverance. The presence of the Lord is evident as he rides upon the storm and as the stars fight against God's enemies, seemingly in response to Deborah's battle cry. This exultant song looks back as well as ahead. There's an earlier song celebrating a great victory in the history of God's people. The song of Deborah looks back to the song of Moses and another prophetess, Miriam, in Exodus chapter 15. And you remember the setting there. Exodus 14 is the account of Israel crossing the sea, trapped by Pharaoh's army behind the waters of the sea ahead of them. There seems to be no way out. And then the Lord has Moses hold his staff out over the water. The Lord sends a wind, dries up the sea. There's a path for God's people to go through by dry land. They escape. And then when Pharaoh's army tries to follow them with the horses and chariots, God has Moses hold his staff out again, and the waters come down and drown the army of the Egyptians. That account of a historical victory is followed in chapter 15 of Exodus by a song. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. And I won't read the rest of the song, but then you get down to verse 21, or a little earlier, verse 19. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went down into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women following her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The God who brought deliverance from Egypt has now brought deliverance from Sisera. And God's people respond in song. In God's providence, we're at a point where we can't meet together and hear one another sing. But that silence makes me long all the more for the day when we can get together, when we can lift our voices in song. Throughout the history of God's people, the response of God's people to the wonderful works that God does is to praise Him in song. Unlike the pagan rituals, which had to be renewed year after year, according to the pagan mythology, the God of Israel works in history. He accomplishes real victories for his people, as he did at the Red Sea, as he did at Mount Tabor. And the song of triumph at the sea, the song of triumph at the sea, sung by Moses and Miriam, looked ahead to the victory that God would give his people when they came into the land of Canaan. And now that's happened. And at the end of Judges 5, we read that the land enjoyed peace for 40 years. As spectacular as this victory is, it's a temporary victory. Judges 5 is early in the book. But in case you haven't caught the pattern yet, I'm not doing a spoiler, you know the book. There's peace for 40 years. But then the people turn back to idolatry. And again, the Lord allows them to be subjected by an enemy. And they suffer until they cry out to the Lord, and he brings another deliverance, another deliverer. You need a better deliverer than Barak, or even Deborah, or Jael. The true song of victory can be sung by the risen, exalted Lord Jesus Christ, and sung not only by him, but also for those for whom he died, for whom he was raised, those who, like the thief on the cross, are united to him by faith. You notice throughout this book, throughout this song rather, the theme of summoning God's people to battle. God's people today, as well as in Deborah's day, are not called to simply sit back and relax. We're called to be active in serving our Lord, not by picking up swords or spears or guns, but by praying, by singing, by serving our God, by reflecting the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to our neighbors and those around us, by proclaiming the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As the Song of Deborah anticipates the even greater victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not an invitation to quiet complacency. Rather, it summons you to the battle which your Lord is winning for you. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that the victory belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we rejoice in the victory that you gave to your people at the hand of Deborah and the hand of Jael. But we rejoice that we have an even greater victor in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has defeated not just armies of Egypt or an army of pagan Canaanites, but he's defeated the forces of Satan himself. He's defeated sin and death. He has ascended triumphantly, and we, his people, share in that victory. Lord, give us the grace to be faithful servants in following him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.